Usually at the beginning of the sermon, the preacher says a prayer, but today I'd like to invite you to join together in a prayer, to sing the words, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." If you need to look them up, it's 712, the chorus, but most of you know them, I think. So let's just sing. Please sit down. When I was teaching in secondary schools, one of the most common questions to a student was, "What are you hoping to do when you leave school?" It wasn't that we were wishing them to be gone, it was simply that we were helping them to think ahead. Sometimes a student would raise the issue as well, although if I'm honest, it was more often their parents who seemed most concerned. Something like, "What on earth is he or she going to do when they leave school?" But it's a question which often raises itself later in life too. What will you do when your children are all at school? Or what will you do when they leave home? Or what will you do now that you're retired? Or what will you do now that you can't get around so easily? What are you going to do? Or sometimes people say, "I'm wondering what to do now that," whatever. And of course, such questions are not limited to the occasions when we reach this kind of watershed. Sometimes, when our lives are tearing along at 100 miles an hour and we're very busy, there's something prompting us to think about changing jobs, changing other things that we do, taking on something new, offering ourselves for voluntary work. And I guess that last week, as Dave was speaking about the bishop's challenge to us to reflect on how we might make a difference in the world, some of you were challenged to think about what you might do or what we might do as a church. And often we say, "I don't really know quite what I should do," or, "I've got lots of ideas, but never seem to get around to doing any of them." I don't know if any of that resonates with you. Certainly resonates with me. Jesus promised before he ended his time on earth that he would be with us always to the end of time. He also promised that we'd know the presence of Holy Spirit in our world and in our lives, and that through his Holy Spirit, God would guide and support us during our journey through life. I love this story that Claire read to us this morning. It's one of my favourite Bible stories. It's one I can remember from Sunday school being entranced by. At first sight, Samuel's situation was so different from ours that it's not obvious how we can draw from his experiences. Samuel's parents had made a number of decisions for him by the time of this story, when he was probably about 9. And his life path was very definitely focused on the temple. He lived and breathed the life of the temple, sleeping there near the holy place, the altar, under the supervision of the high priest, Eli. And we read that during the night, Samuel heard a voice calling his name. And quite naturally, he ran to his boss, to Eli. But Eli had not called him, and so he went and lay down again. And the same thing happened with the same outcome, and it took Eli 3 visits from Samuel before he realized what was happening. Samuel was called 3 times before it occurred to the high priest that God might be involved. And he sent Samuel back with the instruction, "If he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Now, if you read on from the point where Claire stopped, you'll see that what God had to say to Samuel was neither easy nor comfortable. Indeed, Samuel needed some coaxing from Eli before he was prepared to share it. The key significance of this story lies in what follows. Samuel heard God speaking to him and became confident, became certain of God's personal interest in him and of what he did with his life. And he then became used to listening for what God had to say to him. And like all of us, Samuel didn't get it right every time in his life. But when he went wrong, he knew that he could turn back to God for a fresh start and for guidance. As it says at the end of the passage, Samuel grew up as a trustworthy prophet, someone through whom God could speak and work. Now for me, one of the most interesting verses in this passage occurs right at the beginning, where it says, "The word of the Lord was rare in those days." And during this week, I've been thinking, well, what does that mean? The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Does it mean that for a generation, God stopped caring about his people? That he got on with something else and wasn't available to those who needed him? A bit like Elijah taunts the prophets of Baal in that wonderful story on Mount Carmel, where he says to the gods of Baal, to the followers of Baal, maybe Baal's in deep thought or on a journey or fast asleep. Now, I think what this means isn't that God was asleep or doing something else, but it meant that the people weren't tuned in to what God had to say to them. Even Samuel, who lived in the temple and was perhaps more tuned in than most, even Eli, the high priest, took a while to recognize that it was God talking to Samuel. It appears that even they were not really used to listening out for God. Even they were not really tuned in to God and what he wanted for them. And we know from our personal experiences that when people stop speaking and listening to each other, it's a sign that a relationship has weakened or even been broken. And the things that we read about in the early chapters of 1 Samuel suggest that this was so of the relationship between God and his people in Eli's day. Now, doing some background reading about this passage last week has informed me that hearing God speak in an audible voice is apparently quite common, or certainly more common than I'd thought. There are quite a number of documented cases. I have to say, it hasn't happened to me. I haven't heard God in an audible voice, but I do feel that God has spoken to me very many times in my life. Often it's been through the words of another person, a preacher, a friend, someone on the radio, through a poem or a story, through the words of a hymn when I actually focused on the words that I was singing. Often this happens when I have an issue on my mind that I've prayed about, and so I'm more open to not just listening for God, but to actually hearing two subtly different activities. And sometimes I get a prompting completely out of the blue. Yes, God sometimes speaks to us through the words of others. If, like me, you enjoy reading, God often speaks to us through the written word. The Bible, yes, is amazingly powerful if you take the time to read it and reflect upon it. But sometimes it's a letter, an article, or in my case, very often, reading a biography or an autobiography, an account of somebody's life and faith journey, suddenly speaks to me very clearly and provides me with prompting, guidance, or inspiration over an issue. And then there's the still, small inner voice, the conscience, as the Holy Spirit prods us, pushes us, points us, shows us the way we should go. But so often, we don't hear what God is trying to say to us. And that's a pity, because God's will and intentions for each of us is good, indeed better than good. God's will and intention for us is the best for us, and the best for those with whom we come into contact. But all too often, God's voice is drowned out by other needs and emotions, which we allow to dominate our lives. We all have too much baggage that distracts us from hearing and seeing God on a regular basis. Just last week, I was talking to someone about a relative who died. And he told me that his relative mellowed so much once he'd gone into a nursing home. It was identical words to those that someone had used a few weeks earlier about John Cook. Sometimes it seems that it's only when we separate ourselves from the pressures of life that we can be the people that God meant us to be. How sad that we miss out on so much for so long. Those of you who read this little booklet, New Daylight, booklet with daily readings in from the Bible and the comments, will be aware that a new series has started today, written by David Winter, which focuses on what he calls desert spirituality. It's the experience of so many that they find God and hear his voice through a period of time away from the everyday world. If you'd like to make a belated New Year resolution, you can still get by these from St. Andrew's Bookshop. It gives you 4 months' worth of readings. And the next fortnight is focusing on this particular issue. And perhaps it's not so astonishing that so many people learn to listen to God while they are away from the hustle and bustle of ordinary life. Many people learn to listen to God when they're in prison. And many of us have the strongest sense of God's presence when we leave our daily lives behind and go to a quiet place, a hillside, a seashore, a convent, a monastery, or just a holiday. But actually it is in the daily round of life that God wishes most of all to meet us and walk with us. And as I suggested a few weeks ago, and I leave the phrase with you again because I think it's such a precious and powerful one, we're each called to practice the presence of God in our daily lives, to listen, to look, to expect his presence, his voice, and his guiding hand. But finally, how do we know that what we are hearing is the voice of God, and not our own will asserting itself over an issue? This can be a problem for us. And here's just one or two pointers to perhaps determining whether it is God speaking. Sharing what we hear with somebody whom we can trust to be honest with us is a useful start. Another yardstick is to reflect on whether the guidance that we sense we're receiving is consistent with the teaching of the Bible. We also need to ask ourselves, is this thing that I'm being drawn towards God-centered, or is it just self-centered? And above all, we need to experience the peace of Christ in our lives and actions as we move forward, not in our own strength, but in the strength of his Spirit, with prayer and honesty. So today, let's take this passage, this wonderful story of Samuel, and let's, through it, encourage ourselves to become better listeners for God's voice. Let's train ourselves to respond more readily to that voice. And let's recommit ourselves as we move into this new year to make a positive difference in his world. Amen.